Welcome to Sunday with the Skies. We're glad that you could join us from all over different places of the globe. You would actually be surprised to know how many people there are that are tuning in from all different countries all around the world. So it's pretty neat, the fellowship that God has given us to include so many from so many diverse places. And we're glad you're here with us today. And I pray that this day would be uplifting to your spirit and that the Lord himself will speak to you today. And I decided that we might want to just share with you a little bit of the worship that we have here. This is completely unprepared, so we're going to ask my son Gabe to come and to play a worship song that he wrote that we've been singing now for a few months that is really uplifting. And so I'm going to ask him to come and sit right here in the hot seat. And this may be the closest you get to this being recorded, so pay close attention and maybe you can start singing it with us. If you wait for our worship CD, that won't probably be out until 2025, so just take hold of this. Here's Gabe now. Would you like me to play for you, or would you like to play too? Well, unless you have another one, I haven't heard.
For those who seek the Lord, we know it's hardships and it's hopes. We look to God to give a sign of His great and steadfast love. As we seek the Lord, rely on feelings and our thoughts. We forget His word was given us as a promise that will not fail. Blessed is the one who believed that there would be a fulfillment to what the Lord has said in His holy word. Blessed is the one believe that there would be a fulfillment to what the Lord has said in His holy word. So turning now our hearts to His true and faithful word, we see His love and care for us have been extended to the stars. For the mercies of the Lord have washed and cleansed our hearts, and our Savior who died for us has procured our eternal home. Blessed is the one who believed that there would be a fulfillment in what the Lord has said in His holy word. Blessed is the one who believed that there would be what the Lord has said in His holy word. For the Lord shall reign for all eternity. Never will He fail. He will always prevail. And the Lord shall reign, and by His side I'll stand. For His true word is always will remain. Blessed is the one who believed that there would be a fulfillment to what the Lord has said in His holy word. Blessed is the one who believed that there would be a fulfillment to what the Lord has said.
Let's just invite the Lord to bless this time that we have. Lord Jesus, we pray that You would speak to us. Lord, you alone have the words of life. We don't have the words of life. You do. And so we pray that you would speak to each one in their own language, Lord, as you did at Pentecost. One word was spoken and everyone understood it in their own language. So today, Lord God, we pray, though one word is spoken, Lord, that each one will hear it in the language of their own heart, in the language of their own circumstances, that it would be life-giving, that you would actually breathe life into each one and strengthen each one, raise each one up, Lord, cause each one to become a fruitful vine. Lord God, for you called us not only to be born again and to inherit life, but also to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so we pray, Lord God, that you would cause each one to become fruitful for the kingdom. We pray your blessing, O God. Please bless this message, Lord, and may it be to that end and to the glory of your name, O Lord, for the increase of your kingdom. We pray that righteousness would be poured out like a gentle rain upon Canada, the United States, and all the various places where each one is watching today, that your spirit would be poured out, O God. Praise you for your love. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, again, thanks for joining us. We're going to go back to Psalm 16 today, which we started last week. But there's so much in it that we need to go back and continue a little bit more. I'm just going to read through it again, and then we'll start. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in thee. I said to the Lord, thou art my Lord. I have no good besides thee. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forever. As we were speaking about last week, such an important area. God's purposes for us, for each of our lives, the purpose of God for each one of us is that he himself would become our good, that he would be our good, that he would become our all in all, that we would find in him our comfort, our joy, our rest, our security, our peace, and our love, that all these things would be found in God himself. That's what the purpose of all of God's dealings with us is. All the different things that go on in our life, well, this is the end of it. This is what he's trying to accomplish. And now we make his job difficult because, of course, we all seek many, many kinds of good besides him. We seek all kinds of good that is not the Lord, so that we can't really, in truth, say, I have no good besides thee, because we all look to all kinds of other things for our good. Now, because we do that, the fulfillment of verse 4 comes to place, it takes place, which is that the sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. In other words, as we exchange God and the good that is of God for the good that is of the world, then we have bartered the living God for some earthly passing pleasure, and the result of it is that our sorrows are multiplied. not somebody else's sorrows. Your sorrow and my sorrow is multiplied when we seek good other than or and apart from God. And we are geniuses at doing this. We are geniuses and we're incessantly seeking good that is apart from God. Even things that are good and lawful and reasonable that God would be happy to bless us with, we seek to enjoy them apart from Him. We're just amazing. So if there's some good and healthy or reasonable pastime, we can either do it for itself, for its own sake, or we can enjoy it with Him. One way is lawful and the other way is unlawful. So that means if you have some time to do something that might be fun, like say, well, I don't recommend water skiing right now for those in the Northern Hemisphere, but for those who would do something like water skiing in the summer, well, water skiing is not in itself particularly sinful. It's actually kind of fun. If we invited Jesus to be part of that, we said, Lord, join us. May we have fun in you. May you sit here with us and enjoy this time together with us. Now it has become good that is in him instead of good that is apart from him. But our problem is we almost hardly ever think of doing that. In fact, what I just said right now is could be a foreign concept to many, many people. You've never even thought about bringing God into some earthly good. Well, that's a very wonderful and transforming concept because suddenly it becomes good in God. And you see, that's the essence of heaven. Where it says here that in his presence is fullness of joy and that thy right hand are pleasures forever, well, there'll be really, really, really good pleasures in heaven. There'll be all kinds of delights in heaven, but we will have learned how to enjoy those good things with God instead of apart from him for their own sake. This is what makes heaven heaven. This is why God is able to lavish all kinds of blessings upon those who have learned to do this. And so our time on earth is to learn how to make God to be our good. And the consequences of not doing that are so real that we see that our sorrows are multiplied. And it's not like we even need to be punished. The punishment is included in seeking our good from a source that is not God. The punishment is built in because we seek for something that will give us pleasure, a goal, a pursuit, a person, a thing, security. We'll seek for all of these things for our good. But these things cannot provide it. And so they're elusive. They elude us. We're unable to get that good. And so we are tormented because we can't get this thing that we know will make us happy. Think about how many men lie awake in agony, sleepless nights, because the security, their retirement fund, isn't going the way they want it to go. And if they could only get this much money to provide for this, if only it was growing at this rate, if only this hadn't happened. And they're in continual agony because the thing that they're looking for good, they can't get their hand on it. But just think how many people there are in the world right now who have set their heart on earthly security and it's been devastated. And now they're writhing in their beds at night thinking about how much they lost. Well, or how much they're going to lose or how much they might lose. Well, that's the sorrows of those who have bartered the living God for another God, who have exchanged the good of God for our earthly good, for another good. That's the sorrow. It multiplies. And for those who obtain that desire of their heart, what happens? it turns out to be a huge disappointment, or it's just not it's not what they thought it would be. It's let them down terribly. And so these things are constantly bombarding us whenever we seek good that is apart from God. So now we have it set before us that we can either be miserable and striving after some good apart from God, or we can enjoy the good that God has for us right now. Because right at this very minute, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances are, right at this minute, God wants to be your good. He wants you to be able to say, I have no good besides thee. That means he's as close as your breath right now. Say, my child, I want to give you my peace. I want to give you my joy. Let me love you. Let me love you. Let me pour out my presence into your life that you may have good right now. And so we're always faced with these two things before us of either being content in God or seeking after good that's in the world. Now, as we begin to yield these things to God, as we begin to yield them to him, as we begin to let go of the good of the world in order to grab hold of the good of God, the most wonderful thing begins to happen, which is that the peace of God begins to fill us. We begin to experience a comfort that is not of this world. And we begin to be refreshed in our spirit, no matter what our circumstances are. Now, we are able to say with David here, my heritage is beautiful to me. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. In other words, the lot has turned out well for him. And so this is the key, that as we begin to learn how to have our good in God, as God begins to be our good, we find, amazingly, that the happiness that we get in God is more than the happiness that we get in the things of the world. We say very often in our household, a Christian's worst day, our worst day, is better than the world's best day. When we're having a horrible, rotten day and everything is going wrong, we have more joy than the world has when they have the abundance of their grain and wine, as the scriptures say. When they have everything goes right and they get a bonus or a windfall or whatever, something good happens to them, our joy on our worst day is better than their joy on their best day. That's because the living water that the Lord gives us is satisfying. It is satisfying. It is refreshing to our souls. And as we begin to taste living water, we begin to drink from the presence of God, we begin to understand that we have no good but God. He is the best good. That in his presence is fullness of joy. And when we find that out, when we begin to understand this, we have, as I said last week, we have crossed a line and we have become a true disciple of Christ. We become a true follower because the Lord has become our good, and we have found that the good that is in God is better than any good in the world. And that's a remarkable, remarkable discovery. And my goodness, it takes us a long time to learn that lesson. You'd think we'd be quicker learners, but we're not. You know, even after we taste the goodness of God and we dwell in his presence, what do? We look to something else in this world for good. Right? We keep falling back. Now, when we really learn it, we'll be like an apostle. We'll be like really a disciple of God and walking after him. So, this is the true victorious living, is that whatever our circumstances are, we run to the secret place of the Most High. We find comfort in the presence of God. Now, I'd like to go a little bit more into this process of yielding these things to God, that we might have God as our only good. So I want to take us back to the book of 2 Kings, where we see a story that speaks to us all loud and clear. Then you'll think, I'm going to read this, you're going to think, how does that speak to me loud and clear? Well, I'll just tell you. 2 Kings 15, starting verse 1. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, became king. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. All right, he did right in the sight of God. Only the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. And the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper to the day of his death. So you see, this king followed the path of many kings that you read about. As you go through 1 and 2 Kings, you'll see he was pretty much dead center of the best kings. And that is, he did what was right in the sight of God, only he did not take down the high places. If you look back to 2 Kings 12, you'll see another king that did the same, and there's three or four or five that did the same. Now, this king instituted worship in the temple, and he reinstituted the sacrifice on the altar. So these were great things that he did. He got the people worshiping the Lord again. And so it says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. However, he didn't tear down the high places. And because he didn't tear down the high places, his name, you'll notice, you didn't know who he was, did you? You didn't know who Azariah is. Because his name is not included with the great kings, even though it says that he did what was right in the sight of God. But his name is not included along with David and Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat. You notice his name is not included with them. Okay, because it says that he didn't tear down the high places. How typical is that of us? We're the same way. We will institute worship in our lives. Man will go to the house of God. We will worship the Lord even with singing and dancing, even with great enthusiasm. We will bring our sacrifices to the altar. We will be glad and happily bringing our tithes and our offering to God. But don't touch the high places. Don't touch my high places. And we are willing to do anything. We're willing to do anything for God as long as he doesn't touch our high places. Don't be embarrassed. We're all like this. We all have our high places that we don't want God to touch. And what are they? They're the things that are too important to us. They're too precious to us that we can't even begin to think of life without them. And so we cannot even imagine having a life without these things. And so we say, Lord, no. We don't say no. We just don't even go there. We don't even let God go there. Well, that's fine. Okay? That's fine. We can do that. We can leave the high places established in our life, but we will not attain to the righteousness and the glory of God, which He has intended for us. We will not attain to the true righteousness of David if, like Azariah, we leave the high places still standing in our lives. So we can leave them, but our name will not be included with those who truly are sold out, who have given their lives to God. Jonathan Goforth and Amy Carmichael and Gladys Allward and Mary Slessor and Hudson Taylor. Our names won't be included with theirs, even though it might be said of us that we did what was right. But we will not attain to the glory which God intends for us to have. And we can truly love the Lord, and God surely and truly loves us. But because we have not taken down the high places, we'll miss the high calling of God. We'll miss it. We'll miss it by this much. Because all the stuff that was done, all that King Azariah did was great and approved by God. But he stopped this far short. And because of that, he didn't attain to the high calling of God. Now here's the scariest thing about the Lord. That he is a gentleman. The Lord is so meek and so humble and so lowly and so considerate that if we bar him out of some area of our life, guess what he does? He leaves it. He doesn't break his way in. He doesn't break into those areas. If we say, don't touch that area, he just simply withdraws from it. He just leaves us. That is so scary because the consequences of that decision of ours is so eternal. It's so long-lasting. It has so many consequences to it that when we block him out, and he stays out, oh, it's just immense. And that's why we have to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We have to be so sensitive to the Lord, because when he comes knocking and he says, I want you to tear down the high places. Well, if we ignore him, the high places will stay there. It's just that simple. If we ignore the Lord, those high places will remain. And we personally will suffer the consequences of not attaining to the calling that he has for us. So we have to be very sensitive and careful that as we love the Lord, his desire is that we would have all that he has intended for us. And so these things must come down. Now, how do we do that? There's a reason there are high places, right? Because we can't think about losing them. They're so frightening to us that the idea of God putting his finger on something that's so important to us is impossible. It's impossible that God would put his hand on some part of your life that's so dear to you. It's impossible that he would demand that of you. For everybody, anybody who has not read this book, I want to recommend it. It's called Hind's Feet on High Places by Hannah Hernard. This book is the greatest book I've ever read regarding pulling down the high places that God might be exalted in our lives. It's an allegory. It's a story. So it's very, very, very interesting to read. It's not difficult to read. It's not a textbook. It's a story. And I have found it to be the most helpful book to help you understand how to release these place, these high places to God. And so the key, of course, is that we begin to surrender in small areas. And as we yield in small areas and we find that God, oh yeah, okay, yeah, this is good. God is my peace. I've given him this area, but God is my peace. Like those who, of you who are maybe just becoming Christians, you're still drinking and smoking or whatever it is you're doing. You think, man, I can't, I love God, but man, I can't live without these things. These are things I dealt with, of course, when I was a young Christian and everybody was doing these things in the hippie movement. You know, these things had to be surrendered. And I thought, how can I live without these things? But the Lord said, you have to give them to me. And so I had the choice. Well, I have God or I have this. Which one am I going to take? Well, I'm going to take God. And so I would yield that. And God would give me back such an amazing peace and such an amazing joy that I found not only could I do it, but that it was joyful to do it. So as we learn these little steps, and as each of you have learned these little steps, now when God comes to your high places, you just have to remember, wait, the God who is able to bless me here, he is able to bless me with this big area. And so we step out in faith and we yield it to him because we know we want him to be our only good. So this is my assignment for you today. This is the Holy Spirit surely speaking to you today, and that is that you would spend some time today, seek out a quiet place, get on your knees, and ask him, what are the high places in my life? Lord, what areas am I withholding from you? What are the high places? Please show me. And then he will. He'll show you. You'll know. And you'll say, not that. That's not a high place. I know that's not a high place. Yes, it's a high place. And then you're just a ball of fear and tension, right? Well, you don't have to just get rid of it. You can't. I can't get rid of these things. You can't get rid of these things. So what do? We just bring them honestly before God and we say, Lord, these are the high places in my life. Please help me to surrender them. That's all you have to do. Just say, Lord, please help me to surrender them. I would like to, but I can't. I don't even want to. Please help me to want to get rid of them. Help me to want to surrender them. Please assist me, Lord. I want to obey you. I want you to be my only good. And I need you to help me to do that. If you pray an honest, heartfelt prayer like that, the Holy Spirit will do it. He'll do the work. He'll do things that you'll be amazed at that you didn't think would be possible. He will clear out your heart. He will tear down the high places, and God will be exalted in your life. And your name will be written among those who have attained to the fullness of the calling of Christ. Your name will be included along with David and Elijah. And the prophets will be your name. You might live in the 21st century and they lived back then, but it's all present tense to the Lord. Anybody who surrenders everything to follow the Lord will be included with the great men and women of God. Your name will be with theirs. And the fullness of joy will dwell in your heart. So take these words very seriously. Please not only consider doing this today, but please actually do it today. And even if it's just a baby step, it's a good baby step. It's going in the right direction. God will greatly bless you if you will do these things. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we can't even imagine surrendering these areas of our life to you, Lord, because it's what our joy is based on. But Lord, we do want to obey you, and we do want to make you exalted in our lives. We do want to say with David that you are my only good. And so, we offer you these things, and we ask for your help. We ask for your strength. We ask for your grace to accomplish the good work which you have begun. We thank you that our salvation didn't begin with us, and it will not end with us. It is started by you. It's continued by you. It will end with you. For we are your workmanship. And so we ask you to make us good, pure, clean vessels fit for the Master's use. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters everywhere, Lord God, that you would do a wonderful work in each of their lives, Lord God, to cast down the high places that you might be exalted. Thank you for your love, O God. Praise you. Amen. So again, we really thank you for joining us. We've got some interesting things on our website now. You might want to check out our website. I think maybe there isn't, but should be links. We played on a national TV show in Canada this week, and it was just aired. So that's kind of neat if you want to see it. It's called 100 Huntley Street, and you can either go to 100HuntleyStreet.com or go to our website or go to our Facebook profile, which is called what?
Sky's profile.
It's good, right to the point. No confusion, that's good. Anyway, there's links somewhere in there. It's out there, you know. So if you want to take a look at that, and of course there's a lot of other good things. So may God greatly bless you. Please email us or call us. And tell us how you're doing and what progress you're making. Bye.